welcome along to this week's episode of the, I forgot what it's called, the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the Caramel Kid?
What? I'm sidekicked for a stupid idiot. Yeah.
I should just change the name every now and again. I really did forget what it was called for a second. Yeah. But anyway. How you doing?
I'm all right. What are you saying?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Did a nice 30K hard run yesterday in 3:55 kilometer pace, which was nice. I feel good. I feel a bit tired from that since the weekend. But training's looking up. My sleep is looking down, but my training's looking up. We've had so many visitors lately. We've got family coming over to stay that we've had to put Greta back in our room. So she's in a cot, like right next to the end of our bed. So whenever she wakes up, which is quite frequently, usually she just suck her thumb back to sleep because she's got nothing to do. But this time she looks at us and starts laughing and crying. And it's, oh God. So she's up every hour on the hour. But now we kicked her out again. She's kicked out. She's back in her own room. No one else is staying. If you're going to come and stay with me, you got to sleep on the floor. You can't take Greta's room anymore. Yeah, so that was that.
So Sean's offering up half star accommodation.
Yeah, it's gone from being at least 3 star to down to half a star. You're in the front room, I'm afraid. Yeah, I can't handle it. I can't handle this lack of sleep. I've only got 2 weeks to go to the big race, the World Mountain Running Trial, GB Trial, which we're looking into the fine print. It says, like, you know, it's the top four usually qualify for the World Championship. So I think maybe I can get an outside chance of that. Probably haven't, but... Well, I might do. I might have an outside chance of that. But then they've now said it's got to be, you've got to be competitive. So it's like, you know, like British Athletics with the World Cross Country, they only take teams they think are going to win medals. So suddenly right. Now it's like, even if you get in the top four, you might not go, which is just annoying. So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen there, but we know where it is. It's in Mol Ilio. I can't say Welsh, so that might not be right, but it's a mountain in Snowdon. We're running up that on the 21st of September. Of a chance to make a team to go to the World Championship. So I'm looking forward to
it. And where is the World Champs?
Patagonia, which is going to be amazing. I've never been to South America before. I've never been to America before, so it's going to be exciting if I ever get a chance. But yeah, I'm playing it down.
Make sure no one gets their violin box wax.
Yeah. I've got to start getting a bit of sleep before I go over there. That's the biggest thing with the violin. I'm going to be complaining about not being able to sleep half the time. But yeah, and the training's gone good. I'm fit. If I can run 31K and feel great at 3:55 per kilometre pace, I know that I'm in good shape. I just have to, yeah, go there. And my mountain running's all right. My hill running's good on the treadmill. Everything's good. Just need to be rested and relaxed.
You need like be half rabbit, half tortoise.
Exactly, yeah.
So a rabbit in a tortoise shell or something like that.
That's it, yeah. Don't go off too hard. Sit back. Remember what happened in the last race. It's going to be shorter than the last race, which is going to be good. But, yeah, I've got to not go too hard. I've got my plan. I know what I'm going to do. But I've got to go and look at the course next week and then see what happens. So, yeah, all good. How about you? What have you been up to? Talk to us about Sheffield. We talked about it last show. We off to the Pokemon UK Champs.
Yeah, it was savage.
Yeah.
Some of the people, obviously, they take it so seriously.
Yeah.
And I got worked.
Did you?
I wasn't that bad in the end, but it was quite interesting because I found out that there was just rows and rows of tables. So there's like over 1,000 people, and there's rows and rows of tables.
Yeah.
And in the cheap seats is where you the crap people play. And then obviously in the VVIPs. So the more you win, the more you go up the tables.
Right, okay.
And because I was unranked, I started, you know, like mid 500s, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, on the bench.
So I was in the average seats, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
And then I drew my first game and then I lost my second game. So I was down in Algie. I was down in super cheap seats. It was so funny. And then I'm sitting there and the person next to me playing, the person opposite him goes, oh my gosh, I've still got a picture on my phone of you from like 3 years ago. And I was like, whoa, that sounds like a stalker. And I said to the guy, what do you do? He goes, oh, I run my own YouTube channel. And I was like, what's it called? And he said it. And I said, no way. I said, I know you. I said, I watch your channel to get tips. And he was next to me and he gives me tips. I said, no wonder we're down there.
So did you get to move a few seats then? Did you go up the leaderboard?
I would have been in the mix. You needed 6 wins to make day 2.
Okay.
So yeah, if I can convert some of the draws, then I would have been all right.
Jermaine, I can see this happening. This money's coming to you. You've got to get better at Pokemon
Well,
cards. But
oh
still,
boy, oh boy.
we got an interview this week. We got a like so you know my nickname's the White Devil. And that comes from the time I went to Malawi and I was running up a dirt track road and I scared the living daylights out of a lady who didn't expect to see a big bearded white man running up the middle of a road and didn't enjoy it. So we gave him that was the birth of my name, the White Devil. But we're talking this time to a runner from Malawi. So he's making a bit of a let's say a splash on the scene. That's not the right phrase, but he's born in Malawi. He started running a few times in South Africa, and he's recently run a few times in Europe. And his name is Edson Kawumba. I'm going to say that one wrong. Sorry, Edson. I did it right on the recording, but let's see how it goes there. But we chat to him about his life and his route into running, because obviously Malawi, if you don't know where that is geographically, it's southern East Africa. Bordering Tanzania and a few other places that I'm not going to remember, but we talked about why it is that Malawians perhaps don't have the same history in running as perhaps Tanzania. There's been like guys at the top running from Tanzania. Obviously Kenya's a little bit further north, but it is altitude Malawi, and it hasn't got the same kind of history. So we talked a bit about that. We talked about his interesting route into running. He talks a lot about how he first started when he was 9 years old running races, illegally, it must be said, Edson. But I don't know if that really matters. But we talk about that. But we also talk about what he thinks about when he's running. So the topic we wanted to have a chat about now is like when you are really pushing, what do you think about? What do you use to stay on track? Is there something you that goes through your mind particularly that helps you focus on what you're doing? And what do you think, Jermaine? Is there when you're in a 1500
Well,
meter race? I suppose it's too short, isn't it?
I just usually that ha would happen like for me, you know, like if doing a 10K road long stuff where you think I just want to give up, and then you're pushing, you're just hanging, and you're hanging. All I think about is I've got this far, and you think, oh, if I could just hang on, I know I can outsprint them. If I keep pushing, they must like. I don't think about if they're hurting. I'm just thinking I'm gonna punish them at the end for making them punish me now.
Edson was talking about his mum. He thinks about his mum, and it helps him focus. And I was thinking about other people who do similar things. So Paula Radcliffe, when she broke the world record, I think she used to count to 100 and saying her daughter's name in between. So it was one, Ruby, two, Ruby, three, Ruby, four. So I thought that was quite a good way to keep you on track. But I tried it once in a half marathon here in the Netherlands, and I, to be
Wow.
honest, I was knackered anyway. And I tried thinking, right, Molly was pregnant at the time, and I was thinking, I'll try and count and think of Molly, and I'll really try and get me to go. And I sped up for about 3 minutes, and then I crashed even harder.
You might well not. Don't tell your wife this. Say
I'm
that
not
this
gonna,
show went missing.
yeah.
Say this chat. This show went missing.
She ruined my race rather than was an inspiration to my race. I won't tell her that. She'll be unhappy about that sort of thing. But yeah, it's like people use that sort of thing to like to help them for what they're running for. So that was what Edson talked about a bit about
I
how
guess
he's.
see, yeah, positive energy because I sort of try and tap into negative energy to sort of make not more angry but more determined, thinking like you've got to prove a point sort of thing.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the what I was thinking of during my best ever race. So that's one running race I did in the cross country. And actually I wasn't thinking about anything at all apart from what I was doing. Do you know what I mean? Like I totally zoned out, and it was like you just think about, right, where am I going to position myself now on this bit of the corner? Where am I going to do this? Where, and almost like the best races I have is when I can completely forget about everything else and just be like in the moment. But that doesn't come along very often, does it? No.
No. You want to hear people cheering you on. You look at them, you're like, oh, sugar, I'm not concentrating. Look straight forward again. Is that, yeah. So, yeah, it's,
It's a
yeah.
hard one. There's got to be a way of doing it. I think the best racers are the ones that can do that. I think I remember Elise McColgan was very good when we chatted to her about like sort of she's just there to race. She just everything can be blocked out. She's just not thinking about anything else but racing. But it's a hard skill. I think you're either blessed with it or not. But hey, but let's.
It takes practice, but yeah, you needs obviously a good mindset.
Well, anyway, let's listen to Edson and let's talk about his route into running and what his plans are for the future. Here we go. On today's show,
I'm going to pronounce his surname wrong. We just discussed this off air, but Edson Kumwamba, am I right?
Yes, you're right, yeah.
That's how Kumwamba, are you doing, Edson?
It means, I'm well, thanks, and how are you?
Very good, good. And what do you say you, it means?
It means heaven.
Heaven, oh, lovely.
Heaven, yeah, lovely. Yeah, Kumwamba means heaven, yeah.
Lovely. So you're an ultra trail runner?
I am an ultra trail long distance runner.
Yeah.
Born and grew up in Mulanje, Malawi, which is the bottom of the village, which is bottom of Mount Mulanje.
Yeah.
Which is 3,001 meters above sea level.
Okay. Wow.
And for those,
for our listeners who don't know Malawi, whereabouts is it in Africa geographically?
Geographically, Malawi is in East Central Africa.
Yeah.
It's neighboring Tanzania and Mozambique.
Okay.
And the other side is Zambia. Yeah.
Okay, and you love it, I've been once, we were talking a bit earlier, I've been once myself, and it's described as the warm heart of Africa. What do you think makes people so friendly? I got off the flight when I was traveled over, and people would stop me and say, welcome. It was a really friendly place. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, because, you know, Malawi is one of the evergreen city states. That's how I can say that, because it's all green when you land in Malawi. Because you need the tea plantation and the farms and also the people itself, the environment and the people itself. The people are so friendly. They welcome you. They share everything. They can share you anything you want to have here. Even if you want to ask directions in Malawi, there is no like violence or I can say it's just a peaceful country where the people are all peace.
Yeah.
Okay. We share everything. Yeah. So that's why they call it the home heart of Africa. Yeah. And also the food here, the food in Malawi is all organic. Yeah. Okay. It's like everything's out of the land.
Yeah.
So it's like we live like that life of peacefully.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why they call it Malawi, the home heart of Africa.
Lovely.
And also we got the beautiful Mount Mulanje.
Yeah.
And the beautiful lake which have got fresh water.
Yeah.
And we have got the best fish ever in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, that fish we call it Chambo fish, which you can find in Lake Malawi only in Africa.
So let's talk about where you're from specifically. You said you were born around close to Mount Mulanje.
Yeah, I'm born in the Lulu area, which is called Njata Village.
Mm.
It's the beneath of Mount Mulanje, at the foot of Mount Mulanje.
Yeah,
and it's also close to where the Porter's race start and end.
Yeah,
and so I grew up there when I
is
was
that, is that
since I was born.
Edson,
the altitude is like it's a high altitude. Yeah, we're living in a high altitude. So
yeah.
Almost
okay.
Like 700 and something. Yeah, meters
okay.
Elevation and all kind of that. Yeah.
And so what was your like your childhood like? Were you very active? Were you always climbing up the mountain? What did you kind of get up to as a child?
As a child, when I was like 6 years old, I was going up to just to fish water. I mean, not water, but firewood.
Mm.
Okay. So what really happened for, like, the mountain is in our village. So it's like we climbed every time, chasing some animals, like hunting animals and all kind of that. Mm. So then we ended up when I was 9 years old, because I really didn't have any things to do, like sport. You know, I couldn't run, I couldn't play soccer, I couldn't chat with my friends.
Yeah.
So my mother was saying, let me take you to watch the race, because you know, on the race, you know, in those years, like white people were very rare in our country. So to see white people running into that Porter's race, it was like, let's go and see. My mother was like, let's go and see white people running in the Porter's race.
Wow.
Then that's my first time to go there and watch the Porter's race.
Yeah.
And see, get interested into that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that got you hooked. You were interested in running from that point.
No. For what happened was is that the same year when I was 9 years old, and the people were running and coming down from the top of the mountain, and they were drinking Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola at that time was difficult for us in our country to have. The house or even to buy. It's a very expensive thing. We took it as for the richest people.
Yeah.
So it was like, one day I need also to drink Coca-Cola. My mother was like, do you want also to run them? Yeah. And they're like, yeah. So the following year, my mother took me there again. So that was 10 years old. So when I get there, I couldn't be allowed to run the race because one, first, I was very young. And the second thing was like, okay, even if I could be older, I couldn't afford to pay the entry to run that race because it was only used for the porters, people who were escorting, you know, guiding tourists.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, then what happened was like, I'll just follow them. I was like, yeah, let me just follow them. Okay.
Oh,
when
wow.
people are running, then I just walk in. Yeah. And then I ran up to around the whole mountain without people, but lots of water in the mountain because our mountain have got just fresh, pure water flowing around and some fruits. That those years, the fruits were lots of fruits in the mountain.
Yeah.
So we're eating fruits. And so I ended up like running the whole race in 8 hours.
Wow.
While the people finished the race in 7 hours, I mean, 2 hours. 5 minutes, 2 hours, 10 minutes. Okay,
wow.
But I ran in 7 hours. So it's when my mother was still waiting for me in that moment, like waiting for 8 hours while everyone is gone and even the prize giving and everything is done. They were waiting for me. So I was very inspired that my mother is still waiting, no matter everyone is gone, but still my mother is waiting for me. And yeah, so I was very happy to finish, to come back out of the mountain because imagine to climb it. When I was 9, 10 years old and climbing 2,700 meters elevation.
Wow.
That was really tough.
And did that experience make you want to come back for more? Did you?
It is like really my mother who told me that you have to come back again.
Yeah.
Because to me, I was like, oh, because I was feeling sorry to my mother because she was only one sitting there and no one was there. So I was feeling sorry. Maybe she will angry with me, like, why you follow them and going up in the mountain? But she was very happy and told me, you must go back again tomorrow next year. So because then you're going to drink Coca-Cola. Then I was like, yes, I'll go back again. So yeah, then the following year was like, I get used to it and drop down. I remember my first year, the third year, it was my first year to drink just to receive a Coca-Cola because
wow.
I finished it in four hours something.
So obviously when you're 10 years old, you can't train for an event like that. Where did you think level of fitness came from?
I think the level of fitness came in three ways. One, I studied my primary school to a school which was like 8 kilometers away from my house.
Mm.
So we were running to the school and running back 8 kilometers in the morning and 11 o'clock in the 8 kilometers. So in total, we was like 16 kilometers. And
wow.
The other thing was, during weekend, we used to go up in the mountain, climbing the mountain just to fetch firewood and also just to eat fruits in the mountain because the fruits which was in the mountain was different to the fruits which is on the bottom, in the houses, in the villages, because in the villages, the fruits were just planted. But the ones in the mountain is like indigenous fruits.
Yeah.
You see, yeah. So it's like we get interested in that. And also hunting, you know, hunting in the mountain and running up, chasing some like maybe you're chasing for an animal to catch it and you find that the monkeys and the baboons, they're chasing you again. So it's like you're running two things. You see? So that's where the strength really came from to climb the mountain.
Yeah. So where did you go from there? So you finished the porter's race how did you take it? At that stage, did you want to be a runner or was it more for you just about the porter's race and enjoying the mountain?
That time was just about, I was crying to be, one day I have to be at the finish, the early time where my mother will be happy while the people are there. And also that I can receive that Coca-Cola in the front of people while they're happy. So there was no races as up to now. There was no other trail run races, but still that reporter's race was inspiration to me. Like the person who inspired me was my mother, because if the time comes in June, in July, she was like, are we going to porter's race? So it's like, I wasn't training. I wasn't going, like, even my mother couldn't tell me, go and train and all kind of racing. I was just keeping on going. So I did that for 9 years without a bib number.
Wow.
Still, they're saying you have to grow to get to, say, 18 years old. Then you can run porter's race.
Ah. And what was that first race like as an official entrant?
When I got to 18, I didn't run even the porter's race because when I was 18 years old, I was in secondary school form 4 and I was far away to study in my secondary education. Yeah.
Okay. And it was at that stage that you lost your mother. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the point that I lost my mother in 2006 when I was 16 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
And my mother, and then I lost my mother while I was in the northern part of Malawi.
Yeah.
So I had to move from northern part to come to southern Malawi.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's so like when I was in northern Malawi, I couldn't run anymore. I couldn't go to run Porter's race. I couldn't do anything. So I started playing soccer at that time.
Yeah.
So and I played soccer when I came back to southern Malawi to attend my mother's funeral.
Yeah.
Then I found that my mother was already buried like a month ago. So it was very sad.
At that point, then, so you, after having graduated, you then ended up in South Africa. At that stage, were you running? Were you doing lots of exercise?
No. I wasn't running, but I was good in soccer. That's just what I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was just playing soccer. That was it. And you know, in soccer, we were training hard and that so that we win some trophies and different things. And I remember I was a captain of a college, our technical school. So I was a captain. So soccer was in my mind at that time.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah. So when I was moving to South Africa, I didn't know anything about that. In South Africa, it'd be a trail run. And in Malawi, I didn't know that Porter's Race is called Porter. It's part of trail running. Yeah. So when I was moving to South Africa, my mind was like, maybe when I get there, I'll be playing soccer.
Yeah.
So when I arrived in South Africa in 2012, I was working in as a guardian.
Mm.
So 2013, I moved to another boss who was from Switzerland.
Mm.
And he told me, you must come and work for me, but you're going to be staying at my place. At 3 o'clock, I was knocking off at 3 o'clock every day. And when I knock off, I was just sitting, chatting, no friend, no one. So it was like lonely. And this guy look at me and said, this guy is depressed. Looks like he's depressed and maybe I'm sad. One day he saw me with a shoe. Like, it was Adidas shoe.
Yeah.
Okay? Like a sneaker, Adidas techie.
Yeah.
So he asked me, hey, I saw you with a good shoe. Let's go for a run. And I was like, no, I don't run. Because it's like, no, but you must go for a run because you do exercises and you make your body healthy. And it's like, no, I don't run because I was scared to run on the road because in South Africa, some driving is something. There's a habit, bad driving. Lots of people get knocked in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, but I can't run on the road because I'm scared from the cars. And he's like, No, we go in the mountain. Now he switched it off. He switched my mind and like bring my good memories of my past.
Yeah.
Okay. Like think of my mother taking me to the mountain. Then I start thinking that my mother told me that one day you run with these people, we run with white people in their country, in overseas, in Europe. Then I was like, maybe this is the time because this is a white person, you know? And I was like, okay, cool. Then I get there. Then I get to, I said, okay, let's go up the mountain. Then we go to the mountain. And the mountain is called Lion's Head Mountain.
Yeah.
It's in, we were living in Clifton. Clifton is behind Lion's Head Mountain.
Yeah.
Close to Table Mountain.
Yeah, I know. I think I've run that one. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Then we went there and he called his friend. I said, tonight you're going for a run. He said, yes. Okay, I've got. I'm going with my guy who is waiting for me. I said, okay, cool. So we get up there on the mountain and start running. And he's like, guy. He's like, hey, dude, you running? This guy is running good.
Yeah.
I think you're a runner. I said, no, I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're running well. I think I must enter your races. Yeah. And his friend is like, okay, I'm going to offer you shoes, running shoes. What's your size? Then they brought shoes. And he said, okay, we want to enter your race. So the my first race was like, then I was like, wow, I'm going to enter a race with a bib number, officially. Yeah. This will be the first time in my life. Yeah. And I was very excited.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish my mother could be here to see this.
Yeah.
Then I trained like just a month, okay?
Yeah.
We were waiting for that race. It was called the Lion's Head Challenge. So I went to the race, and he's like, and they in the morning before we leave to the race, he was sleeping. He was the only one who can drive. I couldn't drive. Yeah. So it's like, so I said, I went to his door and knocked. Right? It's time. He's like, oh, I forget, buddy. So we get into the car. And we drive to the race, and I get there. It was 15 minutes late.
So
the organizer said you can't run. 15 minutes late, your friends are already gone. So it's like that, and my boss said, okay, just let us enjoy the race. We can just run and follow the people.
Yeah.
Then they said, oh, okay, go.
Yeah.
So I start running and following the people and start chasing the people and chasing them and chasing them until I get to the top of Lion's Head Mountain. When I start coming down, I was in 10th position.
Wow.
Then when I was getting to the finish line, then I get to the 60th position. and this guy was very impressed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you did this. Then he started asking me questions. Have you run in the mountain? Then it's when I started telling him my story that I did. It was happening like this in my past. And he's like, oh, no, dude, we're going to enter you more races. So then he's like, this time we will be arrive late at the early at the races so that you can, it seems like you can do well. Yeah.
Great. So did you start winning races then in South Africa?
Yeah, I started racing with a bib number in South Africa.
Yeah.
And okay. That was my first, yeah.
Wow. And so did you win any of the events, the trail events there over there?
Yeah, in South Africa. So what happened was like that was 2014 now. Eh?
Yeah.
So 2014, then the second race was Yongazuk Mountain Challenge. Then it was 24 kilometers. Then I went there to come second. Then I went to Heda Big Mountain Challenge, very hot, and I came third. So after that, I went back to, in 2015, eh? Yeah. I went back to run to start again the race I started with, that the Lion's Head.
Yeah.
And the record was 2 hours, 70 minutes. Then I went there to run it in 1 hour, 56 minutes.
Wow.
And win it. My first win was that one. Yeah. That was my really first win in 2015. Then after that, then I went to different races. So from all the different races of 21 kilometer, 32 kilometer, 35 kilometer, 21 kilometer, 35 kilometer, I never ran to 40 kilometer. So I find that people, when my name was getting bigger and bigger, and they said, I think this guy have got a good story. Can you run 80 kilometer race? Then that race was called Kafa.
Yeah.
It's from K Point to Green Point.
Yeah.
So I couldn't hesitate. I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And people said, no, you can't run. You're too young. You're still young. So you're going to break your bones and everything. Then I told them that, no. When I was 10 years old, I could finish 2,700 meters of climbing.
Yeah.
And then 24 kilometers. And now I'm 20.
Yeah.
I think I can finish that 80 kilometers. And, yeah. And it was just like 3,000 meters of climbing.
Yeah.
Then I forced myself to enter. Then I entered. And it was when we started the race, and I ended up like, when 5 kilometers to finish, like 7 kilometers to finish,
yeah.
I was lost in the mountain, in the Table Mountain. I get lost, but I was coming second. And that's what happened. I was coming second in 80 kilometer race.
Yeah.
And then I get lost to 70 kilometer away. Then I have to come back to get into the trail again. Then I ended up fourth position.
Yeah.
Now from there, it's when I rose to fame.
Yeah.
And said people like, we're going to give you different races in different mountains. So
how were you training then? How did you train for those events? Because obviously you didn't want to run on the road. What was your training look like when you started to win those ultra races?
My training was like, you know, in South Africa, I've been running without watch for 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my training was, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I was going to the mountain.
Mm.
I ran in the mountain. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, and I came back and start working. Afternoon again, going for a jog in the mountain again.
Wow.
Okay. So my training was more specifically in the climbings and descending.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Not flat. Just climbing and descending that time. I was just specific on that.
And did you have a plan? Did you think, right, today I'm going to do an hour and a half, I'm going to run this hard or this effort? Or did you just think, right, I've got an hour, let's go, let's get in the mountain and run? Was it quite...
No, I was going according, you know, like every time when I go to my mountain, my body was feeling excited and good because the only thing I was remembering when I'm running was my mother. That's why I was putting a smile every day. Yeah. Like, how can happen this while my mother is gone?
Yeah.
Because my mother wished me to have this in the mountains and she have to be here. So every time I'm running in the mountain, the memory comes in my mind about her. So it's not about sad, it was about happiness.
Yeah.
Because so when I feel happy, then I go harder and longer distances when I'm training.
Okay.
So the only thing I was doing in that time was like I was putting my phone, like, okay, I'm leaving 4 o'clock, okay? I have to be back at 6 o'clock,
okay?
Which is 2 hours.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, yeah, it's 2 hours. So, and that 2 hours, if today I go that far in that 2 hours, tomorrow I have to go that more than that place in the same 2 hours. That was my planning.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Wow. Exciting.
Mm. Yeah, when I was planning for 2 hour, like a race which is maybe 40 kilometers, it means like I always ask who the winner is, his time. That's all.
Okay.
So when I know the time of the winner of the 2 years back, then I have to run for that time.
Yeah.
And below that time, when I'm training, I have to train for the below that time.
Yeah, okay.
Then I always make sure that I'm in a good condition.
Yeah, excellent. And I must ask, when did you get back to the Porter's Race? Have you been back to the Porter's Race as an official runner now?
Yes. In 2017, I went to South Africa again. I was in South Africa again.
Yeah.
And running the... In 2017, I ran all the races. Like from January, I was just winning each race I go. And others came second. Like every race I go, I was on the podium.
Mm.
And I said, I'm going to run because I lost in the mountain for Pafa and came fourth.
Yeah.
And the following year, 2016, I was late at the starting line and they couldn't allow me to run.
Yeah.
Okay, so like 2 years without doing good in Pafa.
Yeah.
So my aim was to win Pafa in that 80 kilometer because people still saying you're still young, you can't win Pafa. Pafa is only for long, old people who have good long endurance in their bodies.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I want to break that word, which is people say I have to shut people's mouths. I said, okay, anything is possible.
Yeah,
there is nothing is impossible. Then I train hard for Pafa.
Yeah.
Okay, and what I did, my training plan was, and this time I had a watch. There was a company which I was working for in South Africa.
Yeah,
gave me a watch.
Yeah,
so that was a Garmin watch. So when I was training, I was using that Garmin watch and look for the times of the people who were winning like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I get that it was 7 hours something. Okay, and then I train hard for all the routes of Pafa, and also thought that I cannot get lost. So when I went to run Pafa, there was two races, Table Mountain Challenge, because it was also my dream to win Table Mountain Challenge.
Yeah.
So it was Table Mountain Challenge and the Pafa. Pafa was 80 kilometer passing Table Mountain Challenge, Table Mountain route. And the Table Mountain Challenge was also in 44 kilometer, but it was in the same week, like after 5 days, it's a Table Mountain Challenge.
Mm.
So you start with the Pafa. So I wanted to run all those two races in the same week and win it.
Whoa.
So I was like, okay. Yeah, so I was training for that. What happened was that I went to run Pafa, and I ran that Pafa in 7 hours, 31 minutes, and win the race. Okay?
Yeah.
So then I went home without training. I was just sleeping every day and drinking and doing some exercises without going for a run, even for a jog. Then after 4 days, the 50th day was to go to run Table Mountain. Then I went there to run Table Mountain, and everyone was shocked. In Cape Town, I was like, why are you coming to run Table Mountain? You're going to break your legs and you're gonna get injured. And so I could get injured when I was in Malawi when I was 9 years old. Oh, everything I would always think about. Wow, what about that time when I was young? I was kind of climbing the mountain and running away from monkeys and baboons. But tomorrow we were going back again to the same place to get injured. So I ran the Table Mountain Challenge and I win it again.
Wow.
You see? So what happened was like, there was a lady, okay, who was running also Table Mountain Challenge.
Mm.
And she came second on that day.
Mm.
So she heard that the winner of this race, he's also the one who won Pafa. Okay.
Mm.
So she looked at me and she called me and said, come. And we were talking and we had a conversation asking me how you ran, whatsoever. And she asked me, it's like in April of the same year, I'm not May. Some journalists asked me a question like, what's your running dream? Then I said, my dream is like one day if I run a race in overseas, somewhere, even 100 kilometer or any race in overseas, then I put an example, even Mount Blanc, I will fulfill my mother's dream.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So this lady, I think, read this before. And she came to this race and say, asked me, what's your plans in the next race? And I was like, my next race is, I was touring the television out at Cape Town, which was 100 kilometer.
Yeah.
But my dream is one day if I can run in overseas. And he's like, oh, okay. So she stopped there. She didn't say anything. So what happened was like when I go home after receiving prize giving and everything, she sent him an email to the organizers and said, can you send my prize money to the winner of this race, Edison Kumamba? Then I was like, then those who are going to ask me, the second lady winner, she said, we must send her her prize money to you. I was like, what? Then I asked them, can you please give me her phone number? I mean, her email address.
Yeah.
And so they send me an email address. When I get the email address,
and
I send a message dedicated to her, I said, thank you so much for what you did. This is, you really give me any courage to keep going and to keep pushing so that I can fulfill my dreams. And she's like, that's a pleasure. But I want you to ask you a question. Have you ever run a race in Mont Blanc?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's my dream, that one day I can run it. Said, okay, next year I want you to run it. So I was like, what? It's like, yeah, next year I want you to run the race. He's like, what? This is what I was thinking about. I was dreaming about.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So she put, she was working in, she is still working in, like wealth management.
Mm.
So she sent, she put a like investment management, investment bank, like 50,000 rand so that you can cost for internet, traveling, air ticket and every accommodation and everything. So she did the whole process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened was like, I couldn't get an entry in Mont Blanc. So when I ran out of Tokyo town, 100 kilometer, and everyone was like, guys, we saw lots of people running table engine 100 kilometer this race. But everyone, his face was sucking, was like depressed. But this guy, why did he keep on smiling the whole race? And because I came 11th, I remember that year.
Yeah.
And I ran in 11 hours something. Then he's like, the organizer said, Edson, if you need another entry, I will give you for free because you inspire a lot of people here because of your behavior, your smile and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but I was also planning to run Mont Blanc Marathon, but the thing is, I couldn't get an entry because there's a lady who wanted to help me to get there. He's like, oh, I know the organizer. Send me email. I will send him an email. You're going to get an entry. So I'm like, what? So he sent an email to the organizer, and that organizer sent me an email saying that, okay, we're going to give you an entry to Mont Blanc. So it was my first time to receive that email that, okay, you're now going to Mont Blanc in France. Like, what? This is the time to fulfill the dream.
Yeah.
And I really came to realize that really dreams come true.
Yeah.
So what was that like
arriving in France? Like,
You talking about arriving in France, but I'm talking about boarding in the plane. That was the first thing. To get into the plane and say that you're moving to 10 hours flight from Johannesburg to Geneva. To German Frankfurt. It was 10 hours flight.
Yeah.
You know, getting into the plane was something amazing I'll never experience in my life. I was like, whoo, this is it.
Yeah.
So yeah, arriving in Geneva, and Geneva there was at the airport, and waiting for this transfer. Lucky enough, I had a friend in South Africa. I met a friend in South Africa. A guy who came, he just came to run a race, and we meet at the race. He came second, I came first, and we had a chat. So he's like, when I talked to him that one day I'm coming to France to run it, this, I said, okay, I'm going to take you to the race. I'm going to take you to France from Geneva to Chamonix.
Wow.
So he took me to at the airport, and before going to Chamonix, so he drive me through Geneva to the lake, to different places. Then we moved to Chamonix. Yeah, we went to Chamonix. It was very, very fantastic.
You're used to Melange. What was Mont Blanc was very different. What was it? What was your reaction to that mountain and the conditions?
The condition, like the sun, you know, in summer, you know, June in Chamonix, summertime. Okay, yeah. It's very hot.
Yeah.
And I didn't worry about that because it was similar hotness level in Malawi.
Okay.
But the difference was, the big difference I experienced there was the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you getting to the top was -3 cold, but getting to the bottom is 30 degrees hot.
Yes.
And that was my biggest challenge in my first year to see the snow and kind of that. And the environment is different, of course. The green and the trees and the forest was similar to Malawi.
Yeah. And what was the race? How did you get on that first time? What was the race? How did the race unfold for you?
I got there on the same day, but I couldn't climb the mountain before the race.
Yeah.
So it was like I arrived 2 days before the race.
Yeah.
So what happened, that friend, he took me to Zermatt. There's a place called Zermatt in Switzerland where we climb up and up. Yeah. So we went there, then I came back. So during the day of the race, I was the happiest guy ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can send you the video of me finishing in 2017, I mean, in 2018 was totally different to many of the finishers, because I was very, very excited, because the memory that comes in my mind with that group of people was like, maybe my mother is still there waiting for me. So I was very, very excited and greeting lots of people. Just cool environment. And the other thing was like running from Chamonix in France to Italy, then getting to Switzerland, there was something strange also too.
Because
You can't run passing the two countries while we're still running. Yeah, it was something different. Yeah.
And so what happened? Have you come back since then to race in Europe? Have you had the opportunity
When I just finished the marathon, the Mont Blanc marathon, then I took a flight from Chamonix, from Geneva to Malawi, to Cape Town, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yeah.
Then in South Africa, I didn't go to Cape Town. I go straight to Malawi.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I arrived in Malawi, and that week was just a week to run Porter's race in Malawi. So I fly to Malawi because I wanted to run Porter's race officially.
Right.
That was my first time. That was 2018, to go there and run it officially.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just 1 week after Mont Blanc.
So your legs must have been pretty tired to do that and to get on.
Yeah, I could run. I was just running happily, not competing.
Yeah.
So I finished 14th. For my first time to finish also 14th in Malawi. So that's after coming last of the lastest. But I was very impressed. And after that, then I met the media.
Yeah.
But from there, then I went back to South Africa.
Yeah.
After that, Porter's race to run PAFA again. So my plan was to break the record of PAFA after standing there for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So I went there to break the record.
And did you get
it? So when I went there,
did you get it?
Yes. When I got there, I ran the race in 6 hours 54 minutes.
Wow.
Like 2017, I ran in 6-7 hours 31 minutes, and I went back and ran 6 hours 54 minutes.
Wow.
And so when I did that, then I went to run Table Mountain again in the same week, but unlucky, I came second. I didn't come first again.
Okay.
Yeah. So from Table Mountain Challenge, then I leave South Africa to come and start living in Malawi.
Okay.
With my brother. Yeah. Because my brother was a little bit struggling and all the kind of things, so I wanted to stay with him for a while.
Yeah.
Then I moved to Malawi in September last year. So no, when I was in Malawi, when I moved in September in Malawi, it's when I met, children, like, guys, of course you run Porter's race, but let's keep on training.
Yeah.
Maybe something can come up. So I ended up like meeting people called Obs Challenge in a mountain, and we were running together. Then at the end, one of the guys, one of the ladies from Obs Challenge, we started sharing contacts, and she sent me a message while she was in Dubai. She was from Dubai, and sent me a message that there is a race in Dubai called Al Mamoum, 270 kilometer desert. Can you do it? And I was like, I never say no to any adventure except to swimming. because I can't swim. You see? but whatever adventure you said, even if you say 1,700 meters, 700 kilometers, I will come and do it.
Wow.
Except swimming. Even if you tell me in the swimming pool, I can't do it. I'm scared. I went there, and then I went to Dubai to run the Miros Al Mamoum, so 270 kilometer in desert. Then I pulled out on the last day because I had lots of blisters. Even my feet couldn't go into the shoes.
Wow.
And there's so much blisters. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was coming also third there. In the overall.
Okay, wow, so, pretty good. Yeah. Still. You're based now in Malawi. How does it work with work? How do you have your own place and things now?
No. I'm not working as of now. In Malawi, you know, as I said, in Malawi, work is very rare to get a job.
Yeah.
Unless if you have got your own businesses and stuff.
Yeah,
but for now I'm not working. We just rely on farming because we got land where we farm, so in a piece of land.
Yeah,
where we do our farming mainly for food.
Yeah,
like we're growing maize, cassava, potatoes, and beans, different things, rice. Okay, so that's when we harvest it, that is what we keep in the houses for the whole year. Okay. And we use it that to eat, yeah.
Okay, so you're sort of farming and running and competing. And
yes.
You mentioned at the beginning you're looking to start off a new race, because Malawi only has the one race, the Porter's race.
I'm planning to start a new two races. We're going to do two races. One will be in Cholo district, which is like 20 kilometers away from Mulanje. They're like 30 kilometers away from Mulanje, and one will be in Mulanje. Okay, but it won't be Porter's race. It will be away far in the same mountain, but away far from Porter's race.
Yeah,
and that one will be not 20 kilometer. I'm planning. I already got the route. It's gonna be more race, like 90 plus kilometer.
Wow. Okay.
I want to be 90 or 100 kilometer race.
Wow.
So that I can, lots of people from international runners can come to Malawi.
Yeah.
And I can accommodate them in the Lulo area, not in town, in the Lulo area.
Yeah.
All of the people, international runners, can come to Malawi and stay with me and run the race and finish the race and eat local food, which you find in the Mulanje.
Yeah.
And local fruits. So this one's going to be next year because this year it's already gone. So I want to put it in a calendar of next year. And also, I'm looking for the month, because the good month in Malawi to do these races, it's from July to November.
Okay.
Because from January, December, January, February, March, it's rainy season. It's very rainy, and the rivers are so full.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can't make a race in that time. But so it's going to be from July next year to between July to November this month, one of these months, we're going to have Mulanje Extreme Race.
Wow.
But this one, the one which is being Cholo, it's going to be in October.
Okay.
And as of now, I'm trying to find flyers. I got the flyers and stuff, but I'm trying to find the fund so that we can organize this race properly.
Yeah. Looking at the culture of running, perhaps in the rural area that you're in, is there a culture of running and competition and that sort of thing? Because obviously you mentioned is bordering Tanzania, and there has been international athletes from Tanzania competing at the Olympics and things, but not so much from Malawi. Do you know much of a running culture? Was it other than the Porter's race?
Like Mulanje is far from Tanzania because Mulanje is bordering Mozambique.
Okay.
But northern Malawi is bordering Tanzania. It's where there is Kalonga district and other kind of cities there.
Yeah.
In Malawi, to be honest with you, there is lots of runners in Malawi.
Yeah.
But the problem I saw that these runners, they couldn't go far or they don't keep up to keep on running is this.
Yeah.
In the board of running in Malawi, like board members in the government or they like in Malawi itself, they not promote running.
Yeah.
Well, in Malawi, if you talk about social media, media like television and radio stations, they don't even the companies they don't come on at open air to promote the trail running.
Yeah.
They in Malawi it's like most of these people they focus on soccer and netball and kind of that, but they don't focus on running because it seems like in Malawi running is just something, nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
See, that's why I if I came to Malawi and tell people and show them that running is also a big sport that can change human life.
Yeah.
That can change even the country into another level.
Yeah.
Because as I'm saying that most other people they know Malawi because of me.
Yeah.
Of running some international races and ask me, where are you from? And I'd say, I'm from Malawi. And look at Malawi. They never find somebody in Olympic winning a race.
Yeah.
So where is this Malawi is all about? And why you like mountains? It's like, I'm from Mulanje. Mulanje is one of the, it's 3,000, it's one of the largest mountain in Malawi and said in Africa.
Yeah.
So
you're looking to inspire people to start thinking about running and start making more.
That's my real job. That's my real job I want to do.
Yeah.
And I want to achieve next. I want to achieve that, to inspire many and to inspire even the government. That's, please, can you go into this field of sport, like running sport, so that we can inspire lots of children? And there is, I remember there was an organization in Malawi called FOMO. Yeah. It's called Friends of Mulanje Orphans. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Friends of Mulanje Orphans is also helping children, feeding them and giving school fees and, you know, different things. But also they did a race, and they're organizing primary school students to run a race. Great. For their own. And the race was almost like more than 30 kilometers. But wow. They had a stopover. Yeah, they had a stopover because they are children.
Yeah.
Okay. But on that day, I could see that we have got a future athlete in Malawi.
Yeah.
But because these athletes, they don't have even shoes to run with, okay? They couldn't afford to find a shoe or even to find somebody who can tell them that running is all like this. You have to wear this. You have to do this. You have to drink this. We have got all potentials of opportunities here in Malawi, like training places. If you talk about training places or training mountains, or if you want to train for a marathon, you can win because the places here, the same, like if you talk about Uganda, if you talk about Kenya, we've got the same attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. We have got the same heat, but there is no those people who can come and say, okay, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. Yeah. That's why I want to help to teach some of them that, okay, if you do this, as of now, I started a running club in Mulanje.
Yeah.
It's called Mulanje Athletic Club.
Okay. Yeah. And so, how many members do you have now?
Now I've got 24 athletes.
Yeah.
Or 15 are boys and 9 are girls. And they're still coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what I did is I did like a fundraise. I asked a donation from my coach. I have got a coach from Dubai.
Yeah.
His name is, Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
So he also came to run Borders Race with me this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah. He said, let's come to see your mountain, the one you grew up in. So he came to my village.
Yeah.
So I told him that when you're coming, please, if there is shoes, you know that you don't use it.
Yeah.
Please come with them, those shoes, no matter it's second hand, because these children, they run barefooted. And he saw himself. Because when he was running the mountain, so he did a fundraising there in a donation in his gym company.
Yeah.
And like people were putting their shoes. And so he bring almost like 150 shoes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, to Malawi. So before he shared those shoes to the athlete, we went to run a race, the Porter's race. Yeah. So he saw himself on he was doing also a video shoot. He saw himself. A boy passing him in the mountain, passing him barefooted, running up the mountain.
Wow.
And it's like, so he said, it's only we are really, really talking reality.
Yeah.
So he shared those shoes to the athletes. The others, they were taking 3 pairs. And so now in my running club, lots of runners are coming, and also others who were running and they stopped, they are now coming back. Just, okay, now maybe these people can help us to go through into like to pursue their dreams of running.
Fantastic. And for you personally, do you have plans to come back to Europe? Would you like to race again in somewhere?
That's my dream. My dream is now on Mont Blanc. I want to win Mont Blanc. That's the dream.
Wow. Yeah. Fantastic.
And next year, I'm going for podium. To be honest,
okay.
Because I'm training. Yeah. Great. There is also another race which I didn't want to do. It's Redview or Western States.
Okay.
These two races, or Hard Rock. Yeah, one of these three races, Hard Rock, Redview, or Western States.
Okay. You heard it here first. Edson to win.
If I get opportunity, yes, I'm going to do it.
Fantastic.
Because I want to show the world that Malawian can win Mont Blanc.
Yeah.
A Malawian can win even a Western States 100 mile.
Yeah.
A Malawian can do this.
Yeah.
So that if I do that, then come back to Malawi, then these children are going to see, okay, if one of us win, because most of the children, they think we are not the winners when you talk about Malawi.
Yeah. Right?
But that's why I came back to tell them that Malawians are also the winners. They can do whatever. It is happening everywhere in the world.
Yeah. they can achieve
that. Only that they have to put a passion, effort, and dream about it. Yeah. Anything is possible.
Fantastic. And I've got three quick questions to ask you. They're quick fire questions that we ask to all these people we interview on the show. And they are, the first one is, if you could be anywhere running now, so a dream place, where would that be?
Now, a dream place?
Yeah.
It'll be running in Mount UTMB.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Ultra Trail Mont Blanc.
Yeah. Okay. A good one.
Yeah.
Second question is, can you recommend us something? So you've recommended Malawi, I think, but can you recommend something that's inspired you, maybe a book or something you've done that's really inspired you as a runner?
I like to recommend a book.
Yeah.
The book inspired me is Running Appalachian, Finding My Way on Appalachian Mountains. I forget his name, but it's a book written by somebody, Jurich.
Scott Jurich.
Okay, good.
Perfect. And the third question is, in your opinion, what's been the greatest endurance running performance of all time? What performance inspires you to run?
Was a 80-kilometer puffer.
Okay. Fantastic.
80-kilometer puffer in South Africa. That was the greatest endurance. That inspired me to keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Mm. Well, we'd love to help Imanai. We'll have to try and think of a way we can get our listeners to help with shoes and things. I'll put my thinking cap on about that, Edson. But perhaps if you know any ways that listeners can help, please let us know, and we'll try and do that. But I should let you go on. I should let you go on your get out there and enjoy the rest of your day. But it's been lovely to chat.
Good, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Great stuff.
So nice to chat to Edson there. Nice long interview with him. A really lovely man to chat to. And obviously, as I said on the recording, I've been to Malawi. There's such nice people over there. And every time I ran around the streets, people would be trying to high-five me and that sort of thing. They're really lovely. Apart from the lady that thought I was a devil. But let's not talk about that. So we should talk about news. This is our feature news, isn't it? Should we do some bongs?
Bong.
That was a wonky bong. Anyway, Mo Farah. He won another race. He won the Great North Run, as he likes to do.
But I've got a bone to pick.
Okay, good.
He's like, he can win loads of Great North. It's not like Great North is up there with the, oh, he's like six-time Olympic champion.
Yeah.
But it's like Great North Run, really? And then it all depends what the competition's saying.
Yeah. But Tolo's good. The guy that came in second's good. They run 59 minutes, so it's a good old race.
Because they can rig it like they do with the Mo show, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. What I don't understand is when Mo goes to like other countries, like Chicago and stuff, he still has Sir Mo on his top, right?
No, well, they do it out of respect, obviously, because of respect.
Yeah. But anyway, his performance wasn't the biggest of the day, because it was by the ladies' champion, Bridget Koskai. Sorry, I was going to say Kip Koskai, but Bridget Koskai. The fastest ever half marathon by a woman. 64:28. What a run.
Wow.
Reigning London Marathon champion. That's amazing. But it's not a world record. Which is amazing. So it's like, because of the elevation,
I think it's technically
doesn't count. But it's harder than the race she ran when she, because she holds it, I think. She ran, oh no, Jocelyn Kopkoskai, sorry. Jocelyn Jepkoskai holds the official from Valencia, 104:51. But Newcastle, that is a really hard course, that Great North Run. So amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. And she's off to, I think she's off to Chicago Marathon. So that's going to be a bit of an amazing, amazing race. I think she is.
I said, do you reckon what, another record they're probably pushing for?
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's amazing. But they don't have pacemakers in Chicago, so you can't run that fast.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think in fifth place was Charlotte Perdue, third all time best marathon, half marathon for a British lady. She ran 68:10, pretty amazing. Third fastest half marathon of all time. Said that one. Yeah, incredible. So she nearly caught up Mary Kataney. And Mary Kataney is like one of the best runners of all time. So amazing race. And her training partner, She's called Sinead Diva from Ireland. So she lives over in Australia, I think. She ran 69.32. So she was behind her. But, yeah, incredible running from those two girls. Yeah, that was good. That's kind of our news. We haven't got any more bongs. Oh, we suppose we have got a bit of a bong. Should we do one more bong? It was the fifth Avenue Mile over in the States. But we had some good British performances in there. So the winner was Nick Willis. Now, do you know Nick Willis?
As a runner, but not in person. I haven't met him in person.
I think I like him because a couple of reasons. He was a self-confessed porn addict. One stage or so.
That's probably most men undercover.
He came out with that. But he's quite an outspoken bloke. He's quite a nice. He's great to follow on Twitter. That's one fact about him. But he's really interesting
that.
Guy. He's
self-confessed porn addict. I love it.
So he won. But anyway, second place, Chris O'Hare, who is also, like in my position, he is a full-time dad while being an athlete. So he's doing rather better at it than I am. He came second, 3:52 he ran. Lost to Nick Willis, good old Nick Willis, the New Zealander. Third place, Sam Prakell. Never heard of the name Sam Prakell, but he did pretty well. And in the women's race, Jess Judd was fifth from Britain. I think it was a really good race in the Fifth Avenue Mile. Okay, the women's race was won by Jenny Simpson. She ran 4:17. She just beat Eleanor Perea, who is another American lady, and that was a pretty close race. I think that might have even been a record from that race. I can't quite remember. So that was good, some good running. Should we do one more bong? I've just remembered a bit of bonging to do. And it was just the Jungfrau Marathon. That was over in Austria, Switzerland rather, and he was won by everyone's favourite, Robbie Simpson. He conquered the course in Interlaken, and he ran well. So that's a good victory from him. Other Brits that were in the race, there was a ninth place by Steve Vernon. Remember old Steve Vernon? He's coming back. Well, I don't know if he is, but he ran it, and I think he was top 10, which is pretty impressive. So that was good. That's all the bongs. So we're on. Okay. We've finished the news. We have got a review. It's nice to get them, and it was.
But we've been having reviews, but Sean ain't been getting them.
I've not been getting them. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting them now. I can see them. This is one that I can read out. It says, best run/bud bus podcast 2019. And it said, Let's Get Running gives a fresh insight into the grassroots running scene in the UK and beyond. I've picked up loads of useful tips from listening. E.g., I've now stocked up on mashed potato ahead of my next race, Lady Well 10,000. I'd like to give Jermaine advice. I would like Jermaine's advice on which buses are best for racing against. The 29's not doing it for me anymore.
Yeah, well, my tip would be you need roads with loads of lights.
Okay, to beat them.
Because the buses will get stuck at the lights and passengers.
But maybe he's saying the 29 is just not fast enough, so he needs to make it a bit quicker. Maybe he should take on your X. What's yours called? The X what?
X68. He's got no chance against that.
Okay, right. The gauntlet is thrown. Can you beat the X68? Where's it run from, Jermaine?
So from Waterloo to West Norwood, it's fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So there ain't no stopping.
Okay. If you can beat that, you win a T-shirt. But you've got to give us evidence.
The full journey is West Croydon to Russell Square.
Okay.
So if they start, they could get a head start, a massive head start, before I got to the express bit, West Norwood.
Okay, all right.
And then I'll be catching them up, and then I get caught in traffic at the other end. It could be close.
Yeah. Let's do it. Are we condoning it? Yeah, forget it. We're condoning it. Get out there and race it. Yeah,
that's Strava now, and work out the time, and then I'll take a picture of how long it takes, and then we compare the times.
There's a bit more of the review. Also, can Sean find an expert who can help with stitches, cramp, and the like? Yeah, okay, they're annoying, and short of actually getting fitter, I'd like to know if science can help. And there's an emoji with a smile on it. That's it. That's a nice one. It's by Lack LAQ number four, the fourth of the Lacks.
And that's a good one.
I like that review. We need some more of that. You can ask for stuff. Yeah, ask for stuff in reviews. I'll find out if I can find a stitch thing. As far as I know, the stitches are difficult to explain as far as I know. But anyway, we'll find an expert who can chat us through.
You can practice, because before you go for a run.
Yeah.
I used to drink some water.
Yeah.
So then you're used to having stuff in your system. So, Because that's why you get a stitch usually sometimes, because you've got, you know, liquid in your stomach.
Yeah, it's what, oh man, I can't even remember what is the organ on the right? Kidney, right? Or liver? Oh God. Anyway, isn't it to do with the attachment between that organ, which I can't remember, that deals with digestion?
You said we're experts. We don't sound like experts.
Yeah, I just keep forgetting if it's the kidney or the liver, which is really bad. But attached to, isn't it the tendons between that and the diaphragm? And then if you drink fruit juice and it's doing some work, breaking it down, then it pulls on those tendons between that and the diaphragm, and that gives you the pain. I think that's right. But
I just drank a glass of water before I went running.
Yeah.
So even I did a race and I needed to have some drink, I was used to always having a little bit of water in my system.
Yeah. There we go.
Because, you know, like when you race, you don't want nothing.
Yeah.
And, you have a little bit and you say, oh, I've got a cramp.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Lack four. Get and drink some more water before running. That's the way to do it. Lovely. Right. Well, I'm going to get on and do some stuff. My baby's in nursery today, so I've got to make hay. I've got to do some of my invoicing and stuff. So I'm going to go and do that. Give us more reviews. We like them. You can follow us on at Let's Get Running across all platforms. We can do. Oh, hang on. Mark Sue gave us a new donation. Thanks, Mark. He gives us a monthly espresso. So thanks for that. Me and Jermaine are saving those up. We're gonna have a big espresso party. We're gonna do that real soon. So thanks, Mark. Anyone else want to make a donation? Help us keep the show going. We'd love you to do that. It's really nice for you, of you to do that. So thanks, everybody. Yeah, have a good week. Enjoy yourselves. Speak next week.
All right.
Cool.
See ya. Bye. 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 Bye.